I remember what a relief it was to me when one of my professors, when I was studying theology, told me that there are parts of the Bible that you'll probably never understand. Well, we got one today. The whole fiery pot between the pieces of animal, I don't really get. I know it has a purpose. I know where it comes from and works together and all that. I just don't honestly see the application for us. So in line with preachers everywhere, I'm not going to preach on that. Instead, I'm going to try and answer the question, is being a citizen a big deal? Well, that question, I suspect, is on many of our minds these days for a number of reasons, some of which are frightening, and some of which are just, this seems to be the time to ask these kinds of questions. It's been a long time, it's been outside of my lifetime, that our country has faced an existential threat, where someone has said, and whether they were joking or not, or whether they were just trying to get a rise out of us, or whatever else it might be, someone has said that we should become part of another country and lose our own identity. And that has made me and other people think, well, what does it mean to be a Canadian? Is being a citizen a big deal? And there are some people who say it isn't, that these are arbitrary borders, they were just drawn by whatever reason, for whatever reason, way back in the past, and they don't really matter. We're human beings all together. And I agree with the human being part, but I think there is value in the differences that we have. In the same way that I think there's value in the fact that we have denominations, that there are different kinds of churches you can go to that might connect with you better and worship practices or whatever else it might be, difference is not bad. And sometimes difference is actually really good. These days, if you are on social media at all, you'll almost certainly run across people giving you advice on how to be more of a Canadian than you perhaps have been in the past. Not so much that you haven't been, but telling us there are things we can do to demonstrate this in different ways. And one of the most common ones, of course, is what do you buy? I find it fascinating to go into grocery stores in particular because, well, I wear the same clothes a lot. I don't go to clothing stores a lot. But I go to grocery stores because I pretty much eat every day like most of us. And I go in and how things have changed. Where you will now go into a grocery store and it will tell you where this particular product came from, especially in produce. And you can decide. Do you want Costa Rican bananas? Do you want some other kind of bananas? I, for one, do not want Canadian bananas because I have no idea what they'd be like. I'm guessing they'd be about that long and hard as a stone, but that's just a guess. But you can make more informed choices. And the choices we make in this case are more than just deciding that this one tastes better or this one is cheaper. What people are doing is they are demonstrating their commitment to Canada by not so much buying Canadian as not buying American. It's an interesting thing for us. The United States has been our closest partner in most things for decades. We've had our disagreements. They tried to take us over. We burnt down their White House. You know, it's sort of the give and take of siblings on a much larger scale. But this seems to be different. And we're trying to figure out what that means. I read a statistic that at first astonished me, and I didn't think it could be true, and then I read it in several different places and then actually looked it up. The auto industry is quite integrated in a shocking way, as it turns out, or at least a surprising way. There are some parts that go into North American-made cars that make 6 border crossings. 6. And some of them include all 3 countries in North America. Trying to tease this apart is going to be extremely difficult. And so some people have thrown up their hands and said, well, what's the point? And I say, well, it comes back to the answer to the question, is being a citizen a big deal? Or maybe a better way to put it is, does it matter if you're a citizen or not? Now, this could easily turn into some kind of a inappropriate rant about the geopolitical system and situation that we're in. This isn't the place for that. The bigger question is it possible to be the citizen of more than one country at a time? Well, yes, it is, I think. I know some people who are. It's got to be tough if you're a dual American and Canadian citizen at the moment. But it can be possible. It's possible for you to be committed to where you are and not forget where you came from, for example. That's what most dual citizens that I know of are. They brought their citizenship with them from whatever country they came, and they didn't give it up because they didn't have to. They added Canadian. And so they consider themselves both Dutch and Canadian, both Japanese and Canadian, whatever it might be. I've known several different people, and they haven't had to choose, which is good. The citizenship that I'm sure you know I'm leading to is the one that Paul talks about in Philippians. It's a metaphor that he's used in different ways in different places, but this is about as explicit as it gets in verse 20. After talking about what other people are like, you know, that they care about is what they're going to eat next and what they're going to wear and those sorts of things. Paul says, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ. And then goes on to say what that will mean. Well, when we read that passage, there's a whole bunch of things going into that notion of citizenship. It's not just that one day the Lord will return and transform our lowly bodies so they'll be like his glorious body, although let me tell you, I can't wait for that. But the citizenship of heaven, that sense that we are connected to another entity, if you will, is important for us to remember. Because one of the drawbacks of dual citizenship is that at some point you may be required to choose one or the other. If you're a dual Canadian and Dutch citizen, speed skating is tricky for you. We've got some really good speed skaters. The Dutch seem to have more. I'm not sure why. Little tiny country, they're just tall. Whatever it is, who do you pick? When you're cheering at the Winter Olympics, are you wearing orange or are you wearing red? That's a small thing. The citizenship that Paul's talking about can be a bigger one. One of the best places to look for what it means to be a citizen of heaven, and it's not in our lectionary reading today, but we've certainly gone through it in the past, are the Beatitudes. Blessed are the meek, blessed are those who mourn. You know all of those. I've preached through those more than once, and I have tended to, if I'm going to do it as a series when I was still doing that kind of thing, called the series Citizens of Heaven, because the Beatitudes give us a picture, a larger picture than Paul does here. What does it mean to be a citizen of heaven? And so as I think of that, and as we are citizens of heaven, as we are doing the best we can to be that kind of citizen, what does it mean to also be a citizen of Canada at the same time? Where do we have to choose? Well, I'm not going to tell you that I have an exhaustive list, because I don't. But I have some directions that you may find helpful to consider, because I'm finding them helpful to consider, if not always easy to do. If I'm going to maintain my active citizenship in heaven and also be an active citizen in Canada, it's tempting to be obnoxious towards other people, online or in person. Well, there are Canadian people who will tell you we should be obnoxious. We should be yelling and doing other things. We'll leave that to them. I suggest that when we look at what it means to be a citizen of heaven, obnoxiousness isn't in there. But resistance to evil is. Being a peacemaker is. Being a peacemaker isn't the easiest thing in the world. Sometimes it's really hard. If nothing else, because we sometimes forget, what does a peacemaker do? Well, number one, the first thing a peacemaker does is not just give up. That's not making peace, that's surrender. That's something else. And so as Canadians, if we want to maintain our sense of who we are, we need to do the things that demonstrate who we are, perhaps in our purchasing decisions, perhaps in how we converse with people online, who we support in various ways, while matching our actions up against the Beatitudes, against the example of Jesus. Is it possible for you to go into a grocery store and make decisions that match up with both? And I would say yes. By choosing products that are ethically sourced, that are from a place that isn't being taken advantage of by Canadians when they buy it, by avoiding products that support a regime that perhaps is distasteful, whether it's one that's close to us or one that's far away. We don't have to buy the cheapest thing to be a citizen of heaven, by any means. We don't have to buy the most expensive either. The cost of something is irrelevant to that choice. It's true, making ethical purchasing decisions can be a little more expensive, but it's worth it. It's worth it. When you realize that what you're doing with your money, your time, your attention is making things at least a tiny bit better for someone, you are acting as a citizen of heaven. When you're taking the easy way out, you may or may not be. But I will tell you that when we do what it is that we're doing, whether we're buying groceries or what we choose to watch on television or what movies we go to, whatever it might be, when we think that through and say, if I do this, I am supporting people who value the arts, who value the indigenous communities that they live in, who value the earth and are not willing to just willy-nilly take advantage of it. When we can make those decisions, we are right in the middle of what it means to be a citizen of heaven. And it also makes us a pretty good citizen of Canada. Is citizenship a big deal? Does citizenship matter? I say, yes, it does. In a geopolitical sense, it does. I'm glad to have a Canadian passport. I'm glad to identify myself as a Canadian citizen. But not at the cost of identifying myself as a citizen of heaven, of being a follower of Jesus, of being someone who has that relationship with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit. And I can do both. It takes a bit more thought. It might cost a bit more. I can't say one way or the other. But it lets me look at myself in the mirror and not look away. It lets me read Philippians, where we're called to be citizens, our citizenship is in heaven, and I can say, yeah, yes, it is. I've been working towards that. I've been trying to bring these two together in a way that's meaningful and good. And so can you. This isn't intended as a political message. I know it comes across as it. It can't not. But I would rather be known as someone who chooses to do what is best for people and see what happens with that than someone who spends most of his time calling people names or seeking violent solutions. When I was younger, violence was very attractive because it was quick. I came across a quotation that really shook me just a little while ago. It was talking about nonviolence, and somebody who has practiced nonviolence in many different countries and areas, helping people create change, and they said, nonviolence might not do anything, But violence has never accomplished anything good. And I think about that, and it's a hyperbolic statement, and maybe there's some edge room in there, but on the whole, it reminds me that when I turn to violence, violence of action or violence of word, even violence of attitude, it doesn't make anything better, certainly not me. Being nonviolent, being a citizen of heaven, being willing to be one of those people who is blessed because we mourn, because we're trying to make peace, because of all of those things in the Beatitudes. That's the kind of person I want to be. And I want to bring that citizenship to bear on my Canadian citizenship so I can do both in a way that's pleasing, first and foremost, to God, and then to my fellow citizens. None of us lives in a vacuum. None of us is on our own. None of us can be alone. We depend on each other. In this faith community, in the community of Moose Jaw, and the larger, as we go out, and we have dependencies and connections all over the place. And if we remember to bring to bear upon them all the reality that we are first and foremost citizens of heaven, trying to do what we can to be as much like Jesus as possible, then all those others will fall into place in ways that will help us to be the people we were created to be, I say it often, and to do the things that we were created to do, whatever those are, because we're the only people who can do them, because we are the only person that's us. Amen.